This is episode number 84 with Brett McKay from Art of Manliness. Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. What is up, Greats? Thanks so much for tuning in today on this exceptional day. And I've got my man, Brett McKay, who's the founder and editor of artofmanliness.com, one of the premier destination sites and blogs for men and for women, but it's all about becoming a manly man. And we dive into a lot of different topics today on what it actually means to be a manly man. And you like how I'm using my voice? Manly man. All the actual challenges that have been facing men over the last 50 years and all the evolution that's happened with women in the workforce, just the different changes. Again, nothing is right or wrong, good or bad, but just the changes and how men have had to evolve in the workplace, in relationships, in their actual physical strength and all these different areas of their lives. The challenges that have come up for men, what men can do to become better men, best versions of themselves. We cover that all today on this episode. And Brett's got some really cool information and insights from the years of research he's been doing this. So I'm very excited to introduce him and dive into this episode. Want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor. It's a new sponsor today over at 99designs.com/greatness. Now, at the end of this episode, we talk about the success of Brett's blog and his business and really how it's grown in such a powerful business for him to have an incredible lifestyle, live from home, work from home, and raise a family around his business and his blog. Now, let's go ahead and dive in with Art of Manliness founder, Brett McKay.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. With Capella University's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Okay, quick math. The less your business depends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/greatness. netsuite.com/greatness. Again, head to netsuite.com/greatness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness podcast. Super pumped for today's episode because we got my good man, Brett McKay, on. What's up, Brett?
How's it going, Lewis?
Going well, man. We've been trying to do this for about 6 months. So the stars aligned, and we're finally bringing our manly vibes together to make it happen. So I'm excited, and I'm very excited just because I think the topic that you have, which is called theartofmanliness.com, is one of the most unique and interesting and fun and entertaining and educational blogs and sites out there. And I think it's great what you're doing because you're bringing a lot of education and entertainment at the same time. It's not just information, but it's like you make it fun. You make it like something people want to share because it looks cool. It's interesting. So it's amazing what you've created, and congratulations.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. It means a lot.
And you started in 2008, correct?
That's right. Well, I was a second year law student.
And why did you start this in the first place?
So, I mean, I had been blogging for a little bit. I had this blog called The Frugal Law Student, where it was about personal finance from a law student's perspective. And it gained some traction. And like, I kind of got the blogging bug there, and I cut my teeth there. And I met a lot of cool people, you know, J.D. Roth from Get Rich Slowly, mm-hmm. Leo from Zen Habits, Trent from Simple Dollar. I mean, just some really cool people. Got to interact with them. And so I was doing it for blogging for a little bit. And then I was at a Borders bookstore one night, just kind of passing time during study sessions, looking at the men's magazines. And, you know, I'd subscribed to Men's Health. I'd, you know, would go every now and then look at men's magazines like Esquire, Men's Journal, you know, as a teenager, Maxim and FHM and things like that. Remember that one night I was just like looking over the headlines on these magazines, and I just like realized, man, like I don't resonate with this stuff anymore. So it was all about like, you know, six pack abs and, you know, how to, you know, sex tips on how to have great sex for 5 hours or whatever. I mean, just sort of like the Cosmo type things that right. you see, but for right. guys. And like sort of a lifestyle that, you know, I couldn't afford as a broke law student and, you know, married broke law student. So I was just like, you know what, there's got to be something like someone else. There's got to be some cool stuff out there. And there wasn't. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to start the men's magazine that I'd want to read, like that resonates with me. So that's what I did. Like I started kind of brainstorming like what I'd want on a men's magazine that I'd want to read. I even had like my Moleskine, right? I was like really religious about the pocket notebook, mm-hmm. and I started jotting down ideas, and I started like tossing around ideas for like the name. And there's a book I read called The Manly Arts. It's about 19th century pugilism. And I was kind of like, I thought that was going to be the name, but then I was like, no, that doesn't sound right. And I was like, oh, how about Art of Manliness instead of Manly Arts? And like that. So I, you know, pitched it to my wife, and she's like, that's really cool. And I was kind of giving her the idea of like what I wanted to look like. I wanted to be branded sort of like this vintage old school thing. So yeah, I had the idea, started, you know, designing it myself because I couldn't afford a web designer. And I launched it January 2008. And wow. My first article was How to Shave Like Your Grandpa, which was about safety razor shaving, which if your listeners haven't tried that, it's pretty awesome. Just give it a try. It makes shaving very affordable and makes it much more of a ritual experience.
As opposed to just using a Gillette Mach 3 and just, you know, doing it real quick, right?
Yeah, doing it really quick. It makes it more. You have to get the brush and the cool shaving soap. So yeah, I mean, started it and it just like sort of just languished and obscurity for a while. But then like in March, 3 months after I started it, it started getting picked up on like dig.com, mm-hmm. Reddit. And this is like when Dig was like a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people, it was sort of on the radar, and that's from there. We just took off from there.
Yeah. What I love about it is like, it's very unique. It's just got the old school feel and design and vibe and very vintage. Like you said, if you guys are listening and you're by a computer, check it out. Artofmanliness.com. You'll see all the different categories where it's, you know, dressing and grooming, health and sports, manly skills, money and career, relationships and family, which are very similar to a lot of other lifestyle type of blogs. But the way that the headlines that you have are very different and the content is very unique. Kind of like the one I'm looking at right now is How to Sustain a Long Distance Relationship. 5 tips I learned from my World War II grandpa. And it's got like love letters, like vintage love letters of like what he said and how it worked out. And so it's like this different way of looking at becoming a man. And why do you think so many men have kind of lost the art of being
the art of manliness? So that's a really complicated and nuanced question. We get a lot of the inspiration from the past, from my grandfather and like the 19th century. I mean, guys like resonate with that sort of thing. And I think a lot of guys today resonate with that. I'm not saying all guys, but a lot of guys, because like there was sort of a clear cut definition of like what it meant to be a man. Right. And today, because of, just changes in our culture and our society, things aren't as clear cut. And that's, you know, for better or for worse, right? There's some good things about that and there's some bad things about that, because one of the bad things is just lack of clarity, right? And that's sort of, that can create anxiety and just like, man, what does it mean to be a man when there's like no, you know, preset roles or whatever. So yeah, there's a whole bunch of factors involved. So yeah, you could say that, you know, the women's movement and sort of the changes that happened in our culture as a consequence of that might have contributed to that. But I think the big thing is, like, when people ask me that question, they're always looking for that simple answer, like it's the economy or it's like feminism or whatever. I think it's much bigger than that. And the thing that, like, I think why we've sort of lost, like, you know, the lost art of man, and what it means to be a man, is that it's modernity. It's just like modern life, right? Like, we don't have very many opportunities to, like,
be the man.
Yeah,
like, go and hunt, and because it's already, someone's already doing it for us.
Someone's already doing it for you. You know, just things like being strong. Like, you don't, like, you could go your entire life, right? For, like, you know, across cultures and for across time, like, being a man meant like being courageous in battle and like fighting and like having being physically strong, being a warrior, but also, you know, providing for your family and being a father and all this other stuff. But like, most guys today can like go their entire life without ever getting in a fight, right? Like a fist fight.
Right. Like, go to private school, go to like the perfect schools.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, nice neighborhoods with no crime, you know.
Yeah.
Stay at home until you're 35.
Type thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, and like, you know, most guys don't really have to, like, you know, you can get by without being physically strong, which, you know, for a long time was sort of a defining characteristic of being a man, right? Like, you were stronger than children and women,
right?
Because of biology. There are, I'm just saying, there's, you know, there are strong women out there. I've seen them on CrossFit competitions, I mean, whatever.
The women out there now are like almost fitter than most men.
Yeah, there's some really crazy fit.
It's like
guys out there,
and they're like, they're driven to be fit. And we can get in a second, but what were you about to say?
But yeah, I was just going to say, like, most guys, like, you don't have to be, you can be sort of like not very strong and not very physically active, and like, you're going to do okay in life. You'll survive. You can even thrive.
Right.
Because that's what the environment requires, or not requires, but like, you can, that's what the environment allows.
Yeah. There's a lot of not physically fit at all individual men who have used, you know, their minds to create something incredible or develop technology and be in that type of industry. And they never have to, you know, use their body in that physical way.
Yeah. And speaking of technology, that, I think that's another aspect of it, right? Technology. So there's a Nassim Taleb, or who wrote Anti-Fragile. Taleb is his last name. Is that how you pronounce it?
I'm not sure.
Taleb. I've heard it pronounced different ways. Anyways, he has like this book of aphorisms where he kind of like says these like cool sayings, pithy sayings that, you know, impart a bigger truth. Anyways, one of these aphorisms that he says is, the opposite of manliness isn't cowardice, it's technology.
Mm-hmm, that's interesting. Yeah, or the computer, like, right? Just sitting on the computer. Just,
yeah, technology are replacing the need of like men in a lot of ways. Like, and what's funny is that men are the ones who usually develop technology. And as I studied history, and so in a way, men are making themselves
less manly.
Less manly. And it's funny because as you read history, men have, like, societies have had this sort of anxiety about technology in regards to manhood. You can go all the way back to the ancient Greeks. So in some of the stories that were about the Trojan War, not the Iliad itself, but there's, you know, other Greek stories where they mention the Trojan War. They talk about the difference between between Achilles and Odysseus. And Achilles is kind of put out as this, like, super manly guy, you know, even though he had this sort of this puerile anger, like, he fought man to man, you know, against, what's the guy, leader of Troy, my mind blank. Anyways, like, he used his physical strength and prowess. Odysseus, on the other hand, used technology to win with the Trojan horse, right? So he's like a little bit less manly because he didn't use that, his actual physical strength or ability to fight. And then it's funny, you see this play out too. Anytime there's been sort of a technological revolution, the Industrial Revolution, you see the same sort of like, what does it mean to be a man when there's like this machine that can do the work that, you know, required manly strength? So you see it like in American folktales, like the story of Paul Bunyan, if you guys remember the Disney version of it. So like, you know, Paul Bunyan's this big, burly guy, super manly, can cut down an entire forest with one fell swoop of his axe. But then along comes this like puny little city slicker guy with a handlebar mustache with a steam-powered mechanized saw. And he challenges Paul Bunyan to a contest.
Who can cut an axe off.
Yeah. And the machine guy, the puny guy, wins. And so what Paul Bunyan, Paul Bunyan has to leave because there's no need for manly, strong men anymore. So he goes off to Alaska with Babe the Blue Ox, where he can be a man, you know, where it's sort of needed. And like the same thing with like the story.
So
of
sad.
Yeah, it is sad. Or John, here's another sad one, right? This is even sadder. Like John Henry, the rail layer, like he hammered rails or spikes into railroad ties. Anyways, like he was like the best at it. Anyways, then a machine came and said, challenged him to a contest. Like, okay, John Henry, we'll have a contest which either man or machine can lay the most rail. John Henry wins, but he dies at the end.
Jesus.
So it's the same sort of thing. Oh my gosh. Just like technology is the opposite of manliness.
It's hard to beat technology.
It is. It's hard to beat. And here's another, you can go kind of in a more extreme way of how technology is making men obsolete in some ways, is that scientists have actually discovered ways to create sperm cells.
What?
From a female, like a stem cell.
What? So you don't even need a man to create a baby anymore.
Exactly.
What?
That's the idea, that they could do that. I mean, they haven't
done it yet,
but like they've said like, that's possible. We've done something similar. That's a possibility.
What?
So again, the technology. Insane. So yeah, basically that's making like, you know, one of the roles of a man throughout time and cultures is like, you know, the procreator, right? You provide your genetic material, right? You're supposed to be the ladies' man, right? Well, technology is getting to a place where we don't even have to have that role anymore.
No way. This is crazy. So
it's crazy. So there's like, you have all this going on, and then you know, you add on just sort of the economic changes that have happened, where, you know, women entering the workforce, and, you know, before, like, you know, a woman needed a man to provide, right, for her and her children, and that's not necessarily the case anymore. I mean, he doesn't need it.
And in some cases, women are actually a lot better suited at working in that position than the man in many cases.
Exactly. And so you're in this environment where it's like, okay, what does it mean to be a man, right? And that's and people say it's like not important. Like, you know, it's silly to think about, you know, if you're manly or not, or if you're a man. But like, I don't know. I think it's sort of like deeply ingrained in us, right?
Yeah.
We want to know that we have this status as a man, and it means something. Because even the people who say like, "Oh, it doesn't mean anything," and you know, it's stupid to think about that, they oftentimes do this thing where they're like, "Well, I'm actually more manly because I don't care about me being manly." But like by saying that, like, no, you care about being manly. You're just kind of doing it in a weird way. You know, like it's
you're not acknowledging it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I'm so secure in my masculinity that I can not be concerned about my masculinity. Mm. It's like, no, well, you're concerned about it because you say you're making a point to tell me that you're secure in your masculinity.
Right.
So yeah, it's an interesting, crazy, new world.
But why don't you say that women, you know, even though the women's movement, I guess, over the last 50 years where they've come into the workplace where they're, you know, being more independent, where they're making their own money and really taking over in some ways. Wouldn't you say that women still really want a man to be a man, and they want them to take the lead,
yeah,
you know, be the stand, be this calm force that doesn't waver back and forth and allow a woman to be, you know, flowing and blowing in the wind and do what they want to do, but have this strong manly force that they can come back to and be confident and safe in?
Yeah, I think so, because it comes down to just biology, right?
Yeah.
And sort of what we're evolved for. There was a really interesting New York Times article we kind of hit on a few months ago on a blog post about this very topic, about sort of just the love life of couples where, you know, both the man and the woman, or the woman is actually making more money than the man. You know, these sort of like, you know, and these women were, you know, they were executives, they were very forward thinking, very, you know, very progressive, like, yes, you know, that's this. But at the same time, they talked about, you know, they you know, advocated for, like, you know, we split the chores at home 50-50, whatever. But then you still had these women like saying, like, but I still want, like, my husband to, like, take the lead.
Yep.
In the relationship at times, because, like, it makes me feel good, right? Like, it makes me feel womanly or something like that. And they've talked about, you know, even, you know, they interviewed marriage counselors, and they said that, I mean, yeah, when that's one of a big problem that they're seeing more and more today, is where men, because of the, you know, they've been told their life, like, you need to sort of just, you know, don't take the lead, don't be assertive in the relationship, try to, you know, be egalitarian as much as you can, which is noble and great, but it sort of saps some of that visceral romance from the relationship. And, you know, their wives are like, you know, these CEO wives are like, would you, like, you know, make a decision about something, like, where we're going to go for dinner, and, like, right, tell me just what we're going to do. And then, you know, take the lead in the bedroom as well. I mean, they're looking, like, and it's sort of an awkward time. So we don't know what to do, because, like, we're told one thing, but then our biology and our emotions respond to something else. And so we're in this situation where, you know, it takes two to tango, but, like, none of us know what to do.
Right.
So we just step on each other's toes.
Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, I'm living in LA right now. You're in Oklahoma, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And I was talking to a few, you know, girlfriends recently, who are friends of mine who are women. I'm actually in a relationship, but friends of mine who are women who are telling me how it's been a challenge for them to date right now, because so many guys don't want to take the lead. They can't make a decision on where to go, like, to take the woman out. They're, like, asking the woman, you know, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? As opposed to just being like, I'm going to take you out. Here's where we're going.
Yeah.
Like, I'm picking you up now, this time.
Yeah.
You know, wear this.
Yeah.
You know, and these women, friends of mine, who are just like, you know, I've been single for a couple of years. I'm going out on dates a lot, but it seems just so helpless or hopeless with the men. And maybe it's an LA thing, because there's more, like, options for men, so they're a little scatterbrained. But I don't know. It feels like women are, like, struggling to feel like they can drop into a feminine state, because they feel like they have to be in control so much with their job. And then when they come home, their man can't make a decision, so they need to be in control so things get done. And that they're always just, like, not guard up, but kind of like a block of their natural feminine state up. And I feel like that's a challenge right now.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share, because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot, like I am, or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game, or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it.
And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Yeah, it is a super challenge. You see it a lot with younger guys, right? Like in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah. What's up with the younger guys? What's up with them, and what are their biggest challenges moving forward? Like the guys that just graduated or in college.
So yeah, that's a good question. There's a lot of I think problems facing younger guys. You know, for starters, so like, you know, you can, people have talked about the economy, right? That's a challenge particularly for men. Because jobs, you know, 50 years ago, you could get a job in a factory, mm-hmm. And have a middle class life and retire, and you'd have a pension and life would be great. That's no longer an option anymore, right? And so that's something that young men are struggling with, particularly men who don't go to college or who are in the lower socioeconomic range. In our culture and our society. So that's a challenge for sure. I think another challenge for young men would be the relationship thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like that you're talking about. So a lot of these young guys, they grew up in a time where it's like you were told, okay, look, things should be an egalitarian relationship, which, okay, look, I think that's an admirable thing to shoot for, but it's also while they're being told that,
there's got
to
be roles as well.
There's got to be roles because roles bring some sort of
structure,
right? Society. Like, you know what to do.
If there's no roles, then it's like, you said, we're both jumping on each other's toes and like
both jumping on each other's toe, and we don't know what to do, and just like it's just a lot of frustration.
It's like playing a sport. There has to be roles in on a team sport, and everyone can't be the point guard in basketball.
Yeah.
And everyone can't be the shooting guard. Like, someone's got to go rebound.
Exactly.
Someone's got to play defense. You know, it's like you've got to give and take.
Yep. I agree. So, I mean, those are some younger kind of problems. I mean, there's like general, you know, kind of problems facing men in general. Like, you know, for example, boys, there was a great article in Esquire about, you know, what we're doing to young boys, particularly with drugs, Ritalin and that sort of thing, where, you know, it's basically we're drugging boys for being boys,
right? To like because relax, calm down.
Yeah, we want them to sit still during class, so we hear, take this drug, everything's fine, which I think is horrible. So like, you know, there's going to be a great Ken Burns documentary coming out called The Roosevelts, and it's about the Roosevelt family, Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, and Eleanor Roosevelt. And in sort of the pre-clips, there's talking about Teddy Roosevelt, who is a hero of mine. If you go to the site, you'll probably see that we talk about Teddy Roosevelt all the time. Mm-hmm. He's just a cool president. He's a manly dude. But this biographer said that if Theodore Roosevelt as a boy was around today, like, they would drug Theodore Roosevelt with Ritalin, because he had so much energy and he was always doing like just different stuff and getting into things, and they would have drugged him. And we wouldn't have had that a Teddy Roosevelt for a president. Mm. You know, so I mean, I think it's kind of scary to think about some of the potential that we're missing out on from these young boys.
We're getting drugged up,
you're getting drugged up. And the thing is, a lot of these drugs, like they like, you know, make kids suicidal. Mm. They do some really, this is like messes with your brain.
It makes you very insecure or question yourself. Yeah. Like, am I bad for having energy and doing this, or, you know,
yeah,
feeling guilty, all these things.
So, I mean, I think it's a challenge too, because, you know, a lot of the school systems are set up for, you know, girls are really adept for how school is set up, where you sit still for a long time and you know, get along, you know, you cooperate, that sort of thing. And, not so much for boys. So that's a challenge, I think.
Right, man. I feel like if schools just had kids before every day run for 30 minutes, like mandatory 30 minute run on the track.
Right. Yeah.
Like, the rest of the day would be a lot better.
Yeah. I agree.
Something like that, right?
Something.
Like,
yeah.
Who knows? That may not be the answer, but interesting. So what do you think is the biggest concern for, and the issues we've talked about a little bit already, but for the modern man, what's the main two or three things that a modern man deals with?
Modern man. So, I mean, the content that most people, most of the guys who read our site that resonate with or that they find the most useful are like style content, because like they're looking for a way to feel more confident. They're looking for a way to feel more like a grown man, mm-hmm. trying to transition from there. Like
sort
of the present. Yeah, not a boy. Social skills. I guess it's, I don't know, like because of the internet and like video games or I don't know, whatever. There's like a lot of young men who have a hard time just interacting with people, you know, adeptly. Right. Mm. And so like, you know, just basic social skills guys are looking for that sort of thing because the social skills goes a long way. I mean, not only a lot of guys, there's a, you know, the whole industry out there, you probably know about it, like with pickup artist stuff where they focus on sort of social skills towards, you know, how to pick up girl, women or whatever, but like just basic social skills, right? Like how to carry a conversation, how to introduce yourself, how to be self-aware, and, you know, understanding how people are perceiving you. Like not only that applies to a whole broad range of human activities. It'll help you be better in your work. Mm-hmm. It will help you in your romantic life. And you don't have to like do any tricks as well. You just have to like be able to carry on a conversation with somebody. It'll help you in your community life. I mean, it makes you just a better person. I feel like there's a lot of young men now, for whatever reason, who just didn't acquire those social skills. So whenever we post, like share that sort of thing or post that sort of thing, like people, like that's some of our most popular content.
Right. What do you think is the ultimate man for a woman? Who is that man? What does he look like? How does he speak? How does he act? What does he do?
It's going to be different for every gal, mm-hmm. You know, cause every gal has different tastes, and who they find attractive. Like, you know, there's there's a couple at my church where, the girl was talking about how she met her husband and she's like, what did it for her was that he played the nose flute.
What?
You know, it was just like, she thought it was funny. You know, and like just endeared her to her. And like, you know, if I did that, I'm sure if I did that for my wife, I would be like, what the heck, you're a weirdo. Don't do that. But, you know, just different folks for different strokes. I mean, but I think so there's some kind of general, I mean, the research has shown this as well. Like psychological and sociological research has shown that there's just certain attributes that most women find attractive in a man. I mean, I'm talking well-adjusted women here. So just a guy with confidence.
And we're mostly talking women in America, I'm assuming.
Women in America. I mean, there's sort of cross-cultural.
Okay.
In a lot of ways. So a guy with confidence, right? And it's not cocky confidence. It's just confidence, that quiet confidence. Like he has a mission in life. He knows what he's doing. Like he can be assertive and stand up for himself and, you know, whatever, has a mission in life. A sense of humor can help out a lot. And is attractive in women, and or in men, is it in men, and then just being kind, caring, compassionate. Those are David Buss, the evolutionary psychologist, done a cross cultural study. I mean, those are characteristics that both men and women find attractive in a mate: kind, caring, compassionate. And then you know, there are other things beyond that. It's going to be a matter of personal taste, you know.
Mm-hmm,
like some women are going to like guys with brown hair,
beefier guys, skinnier guys.
Like, you know, there's this whole idea that you got to be like, if you want to attract the ladies, you got to like be jacked. Well, you know, some women just don't find that attractive.
They don't.
You know, like, you know, I'm dark complected. I have brown hair, brown eyes. Like my wife sort of likes that. She likes that in a guy. She's like, guys with brown hair, tan skin, that does it for me.
Right.
You know. So you just gotta, I mean, it's, I think there's some general things you can do. So develop confidence, develop some assertiveness, develop a sense of humor, and develop some compassion and being kind and caring. And
so let's speak into that then. So those sound like three or four different things that all women want. So if you're like, you know, a man that's not getting the woman you want or not, you know, getting the women you want in the relationship, have you written about or given some exercises on how to be more confident, how to be more caring, how to be I'm not sure the other two you said, but do you have any exercises or some like simple things that people could take on right now?
Sure, sure. So yeah, I mean, we've written some content about being confident and being assertive, and just standing up for yourself, like having a backbone. Uh-huh. And being assertive, it doesn't mean you have to be a jerk, right? It just means, you know, setting some boundaries and not letting people cross that, right?
Right.
So, you know, just speak up for yourself sometimes, right? If someone wants you to do something and, you know, it doesn't fit your schedule or you just don't want to do it, you know, it's okay to say no, right? And I feel like there's a lot of people who have a hard time saying, I have a hard time saying no. It's something I struggle with still, but, you know, learn how to say no, because it might not fit your schedule. You know, have confidence comes with, you know, developing confidence really is a fake it until you make it thing. I think in a lot of cases, so you just have to act confident and you'll become confident. And then while you're acting, you have to actually do things that will make you confident, right? Does that make sense? So like, you know, act like you're, you know, if you are, I mean, if you're into, I don't know, whatever it is, like computer science or something like that, right? You know, act like you're the most confident guy and try to be the best computer science guy that you can be. And there'll probably be some woman who will be find that sexy and attractive.
Right.
In some way. And that's the thing. Like, there's this great book I definitely recommend guys check out. It's called Swoon. And it's about
Swoon,
S-W-O-O-N. And it's just about like ladies, famous ladies, men from history.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Let me see what book this is. Who's this by?
It's by a gal.
Nina Malkin. Is that who
it is? Yeah. I think she's like a historian or like a literature professor or something. Huh. Anyways, what I found interesting about this book is like some of like these like ladies' mans from history, like they weren't like attractive dudes.
No,
right?
They had a charisma,
like,
right?
They had a charisma about them, right? And like one of them is Lord Byron, the writer, and like the guy had a club foot. You know, he had some other physical deformities, and like he wasn't like a very, he could be unpleasant at times. But like women loved him, like they just wanted they'd flock to him and like cheat on their husbands to be with him. And they're like, okay, what's going on here? And you know, he had that charisma, he had that confidence, he had, you know, a skill and an art, right, that made, you know, that women found attractive.
Interesting. Whatever. I'm looking at, it's called Swoon: Great Seducers and Why Women Love Them.
Yeah.
By Betsy Priolé, I think it
Betsy
is.
Betsy Priolé. It's an interesting book. So kind of a historical analysis, because you get an insight about. Ladies, men's from that you wouldn't think
they weren't like these super stud physical.
Exactly. Like another one men. That I thought was surprising was the architect Frank Lloyd Wright. Women were apparently crazy about him. I mean, he's not admirable because, like, you know, I think he had affairs on his wife, which isn't cool. Right. But he was like this, you know, kind of geeky architect that wasn't, you know, your stereotypical alpha male, right? But you know, women flocked to him. So because like he had a confidence and he had like he was passionate about something, he had a mission, and like, you know, women definitely dig that in a guy. So it doesn't matter what it is, like, find something, you're gonna find a woman who will probably find that attractive.
Sure. And be confident in whatever that is. Now let's talk about men and manly men in relationships and marriages. Now you touched on it in a second ago, but is the definition of a manly man someone that is committed to and having one relationship, you know, marriage for the rest of their life? Or is a manly man someone that has multiple women, multiple relationships, marriages, mistresses? Mm-hmm. What, you know, it kind of goes against the alpha male biological feelings of wanting to, I guess, spread your seed or whatever.
Sure. That's a great, great question. Yeah, for across time and across cultures, being a man, like, you know, un vero hombre, I don't know, it's like an Italian,
a
true man, like that was the thing. You had to have not just one partner, like, but multiple partners, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this was, you know, true in hunter-gatherer tribes, and even through ancient cultures, like, you know, you see this in the ancient Israel. Right. Solomon and David had wives and concubines. You've got what's that guy's name from Mongolia, Genghis Khan, who apparently, you know, like most, like it's like some large percentage of the world's population descended from Genghis Khan. because he had so many wives or whatever. Wow. So yeah, there's sort of like that, you know, this happens in the animal world as well. Like, you know, to be the alpha, you need to spread your seed in as many places as you can. But, you know, look, I guess if you were looking at sort of a biological, and in some places, in some cultures, that was the case too, then yeah, being the manly man went like having as many partners as you could. And not only, you know, having partners, but actually fathering children. That was an important part of that distinction. Mm. Is that you couldn't just have lots of concubines. You needed to create progeny with them as well.
Right.
But yeah, you know, today, like most, you know, since about, you know, for the past couple hundred years, monogamy is sort of the standard. And like, look, I'm a religious guy. That's sort of the standard we set out. And like, that's what it means for me. It means to be a manly guy. So being a committed relationship is important to me. So that's what I think. And some people will say, no, well, it just means sleeping around as many people as you can.
But I mean,
so it's complicated.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I have thoughts where I'm like, I don't know if I can be with one woman for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. Like that's how my body tells me that, you know, in my mind, I can justify it. And if I'm in a loving relationship, then I don't think about that. But it's kind of like, you know, it's just like, why does my body tell me something different?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's, why do I have to fight something?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, there's definitely some of those biological drives. It's kind of funny. So the ancient Romans had this sort of distinction. There was a natural man and then there was man. And natural man was sort of like, that's every male is born natural man. And he had sort of these primal drives and urges. And to become a man, you had to sort of stifle or kill those urges by developing virtue.
Interesting.
But for the Romans, I'm not saying that they were monogamous, strict monogamous. They weren't. A lot of them had multiple wives and concubines, whatever. But that sort of idea, I think, is kind of cool. And you saw it carry over into Christianity a little bit, where there is a natural man. We are born natural men with these sort of natural urges. And the task in life then is to become man, just a man.
To overcome those urges.
Overcome those urges by developing.
Right.
Like basically just taming the animal. Not right. Killing it, but taming it.
Is that a good thing, to tame the animal?
I think it's good to tame the animal. You shouldn't just kill it, because those drives and those urges are sort of like the machine that gets things going.
That's true. Get things done.
Get things done.
Yeah.
Right. There's like this cool idea in ancient Rome called of thumos, which is, it was sort of translated as like heat or like energy or like anger sometimes. It's not just Roman, it's like the Greeks had, it's a Greek concept, thumos. Anyways, the goal in life wasn't to like extinguish your thumos. It was to kind of use that as the fuel to do great things and to do awesome, cool, awesome things that will leave a legacy.
Right.
So yeah, don't kill the animal within you. Just tame them and use them appropriately.
So you think it is the manly thing to do to be in one relationship when you find that person, be committed.
Yeah.
When you make that commitment, stay in that commitment.
Yeah.
Don't waver.
I'm not saying that like it's easy.
Right.
It's a challenge. Right. But, it's not impossible, because there's lots of people who've done it, who are, you know, 80, 90 years old, and like,
sure,
they love each other. Right.
Sure. And how long have you been married? You're with Kate, right?
Yeah, Kate. We've been married for 9 years.
And she works with you on the side as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's that like, one, working together as a married couple and working on, you know, manly topics? Like, what is that like?
Yeah, so like, you know, she helps me write some of the content. And a lot of the content that we write is applicable to both men and women, except we just kind of I give it sort of a manly spin towards it, right? Make it more appealing to guys. Yes, because it's like career advice, relationship advice that's applicable to men and women, financial advice, whatever. It's interesting for sure, because it's made us, because we run a blog about the art of manliness, made us a little bit more, I guess, self-conscious or aware of like gender roles and things like that. And I don't think we would have otherwise would have been if it were not for the blog. Because like you read about this stuff, you're reading about the sociobiology and the anthropology of gender roles, and I don't know, it brings it to the forefront of your relationship. And I think most couples don't really think about it; they sort of take it for granted. So that's kind of a weird thing that I think a lot of couples don't have to think about or deal with.
Right.
But I mean, it works out great. We love working with each other. I'm not saying that it's like all just flowers and honeybees and birds. we have arguments and
sure.
times. It's like any business relationship. And it's a little more difficult because we're also married.
So this is your passion, yeah. and it's like you think it, breathe it, and live it all day long. It doesn't feel like work to you. So how do you turn it off and be like, okay,
I don't think you can. Really? I mean, everyone says like, oh yeah, like I.
But you love it so much that you can't.
Love it so much. It's hard. And it's just hard. And I mean, I think it's important to just unplug. You know, we're trying to be very good about, you know, from when the kids wake up until 12 o'clock, before we drop them off at my wife's mom's house. Like we just try to, it's kid time. And then when we pick them up at 6 until when they go to bed, it's kid time. Like we turn off the computers, put away the cell phones, put away the tablets, and it's just relationship time. And then when the kids go to bed, my wife and I, we try to have, you know, mommy, daddy time, you know, just like it's time to nurture that relationship outside of the blog. But I mean, blog's going to come up during personal time. Personal stuff's going to come up during the blog time. But one thing that's helped us is again establishing roles within the business, right? And knowing, because at the beginning we really like I started the blog, and then we started kind of working together, and then it was just sort of like it was sort of kind of amorphous for a while, and then we had we need to establish some roles. Like here's what you do, here's what I do, because before it was just sort of like okay, did you do this or should I be doing that or what's going on? So now we have like okay, this is what I do, this is what you do, and then we'll meet together every morning before we or every afternoon before we start our workday to sort of sync up.
That's pretty cool. I mean. Do you guys, this is full time for both of you, correct?
Correct.
And it brings in a full time, you know, income for you guys to live comfortably and, you know, have employees and do the whole thing. And how many employees do you have?
Well, we have a whole bevy of staff, like, you know,
part time here and there.
Part time, sir, there. And then we have a guy in Colorado, Jeremy Anderberg. He's our managing editor. So it's like, it's us three primarily who kind of make the ship run.
Sure. Got you. And what's that like for you being able to, you know, you were doing law. Is that right? You were going to be.
Yeah. I never practiced law. I mean, I, by the time I graduated law school, like the site was earning like enough revenue where I could like eke out a living and like try to make a go at it full time.
And you loved it a lot more than law.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed law. Like a lot of people like said, like they hate law. There's some people who hate law. I enjoyed law school. And I think I would have had a pretty fulfilling and rewarding career there. But this was this opportunity came up and it was a lot more, it was just interesting and I wanted to see where it went. So I took it.
And how far do you see it going for you? Like what do you see coming from this?
That's the million-dollar question because I mean, look, what I'm doing, like writing online for a living, it's only been around for maybe
10 years, right?
Yeah, 10 years. Being,
2005 was kind of like 2006 when blogging was like coming on and people were making money.
And so, and it's, I don't know, like it's hard to say, like with most jobs, right? Like my dad, he was a federal game warden. Like there was a predefined career path. Like you knew you had job security because the government needed getting game wardens to check duck hunters. With blogging though, like, man, it's new. So you're always, everything's always changing. Mm-hmm. Things come and go and you have to adapt. You know, for example, like one way we've had to adapt is like, you know, beginning of the website, Dig, like these social media sites were like a big source of our
sending a lot of traffic,
but then like, okay, dig.com
died.
And it's like, okay, crap.
Now what?
What do I do now?
So like, you got to learn SEO. You got to learn another strategy. Yeah, you got to build your own following. And now you have a huge, you know, following on social media, right? You got like, I think 500,000 fans on Facebook or.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's really big.
Yep. It's gotten really big. Newsletter, Twitter, Instagram, Google+. It's all over the place.
That's great. So basically you had to rely on one thing before. And then when that died out, were you like, let's create a social media strategy. Let's do these other things to get traffic or.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was an important place. I think it's good when you're online to be as in many places as you can be, because the nature of the internet is it's going to fragment your audience, right?
Right.
Certain people are only going to use Tumblr. Certain people are only going to use Facebook. Certain people are only going to use RSS feed. Certain people are only going to use, you know, listen to podcasts. but they all want to be like, they would love the art of manliness if they had it in front of them. So I think it's a good strategy to, you know, I guess not to be network neutral, I guess is the word, right? Platform neutral.
Right. Interesting. What's the biggest traffic source for you right now?
Facebook is our biggest traffic source.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Because you get, I mean, whenever I share one of your articles, it gets so many shares.
Like yeah.
Reshares,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we're fortunate that we have a lot of just very actively engaged Facebook fans. I mean, we just put stuff, and like people always ask me, like, what's your Facebook strategy? And like, there's like no really strategy. Like, I
put out content
and then I'll share that piece of content on my Facebook page.
That's it. Yeah.
That's it.
That's funny. Interesting. Nice, man. Well, where do you see the manly man, the real man moving forward over the next 20, 50 years? Like what's next for us in this women, you know, as things are evolving and women are moving into the workforce, like you said, and wanting to be independent, and which I don't think is anything wrong with that. It's just how things are evolving.
Sure.
What should men be thinking about? You know, whether you're a 20-year-old man or a 30 or 40-year-old, what should we be thinking about continually to focus on to become better versions of ourselves moving forward?
Yeah, that's a great question. The last few months I've been exploring that question, right? We started off with what it meant, what manhood has meant across time and across cultures, and what it means today, or what we can do to sort of tap into that sort of, I don't know, primal is the right word, but sort of that primal, those instincts that we have on what it means to be a man. And I think the best thing you can do, right? Like, we're never going to go back to, you know, barring some catastrophe, like, that annihilates civilization, and we go back to like The Road, you know, how it was in the book The Road, right? I don't think we're ever going to go back to a time where it was like, you know, our ancient forebears, right? Where every man battled, and every, you know, women just, you know, took care of the home and like farm, you know, took care of planting and garden, whatever, and took care of kids. But we still have that sort of genetic or psychological baggage, right, that evolved with that. So my advice would be is to find ways in any way you can to tap into that. And it could be, you know, for example, like being physically strong, I think it's stupid and kind of silly, you can say, right? But like, I think it feels awesome to do like a heavy deadlift.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel manly. I mean, I used to not think that, but then I got into deadlift, like powerlifting. I was like, man, this is really cool.
Yeah.
Finding ways to, you know, take the lead in a relationship doesn't mean you have to be some jerk, patriarchal jerk about it, but, you know, find ways you can, you know, do you just tell, you know, when you ask a woman on a date, say, hey, instead of saying, hey, I like to go out, what do you want to do? Say, have a plan.
Right.
Pick up the phone, give her a call. Here's what we're going to do. Would you like to come?
Right.
And there you go. And then find ways to lead in your family, right? I think having a family is a great opportunity for men to take the lead, and you know, not just with your wife, but with your kids as well. So like, one thing I'm trying to do as a new dad, because I'm not that new, kid's almost 4 years old, but you know, have a developing a mission for our family. And you know, it's amazing, like you have this chance to like pass on, you know, values that are important to you to your kids, right? And they're going to be there after you're dead.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's very scary and humbling, but also like really exciting at the same time.
Mm.
You can have that sort of influence on a person. Just find ways to tap into sort of that ancient man stuff that lies dormant in us. And any way you can, doesn't mean you have to like go off to war, but maybe it could mean you take up Brazilian jiu-jitsu or something like that.
Interesting.
That's my take on it. And I mean, and like, what's the result? It's like, okay, what's the point? Like, you feel more manly. What is that? Man, I think it just that sort of confidence and feeling like that carries over into other aspects of your life.
Sure.
And it makes you a better husband, makes you a better boyfriend. It makes you a better business owner or employee or a community member. It just infuses your life with a little bit more vim and vigor.
So I like it. When do you think Art of Manliness will have succeeded?
I think it already has, man. Like, I mean, it's amazing. I get letters, like actual handwritten letters, in my PO box every week. And they're all thank you letters where it's like guys who are just sharing with me like how the site has changed their life. You know, they talk about how they were in a bad place. You know, they just got a divorce, or maybe they broke up with their girlfriend, or you know, something, they were depressed. I mean, something was wrong with their life, and they stumbled upon the Art of Manliness because like their friend shared one of our kind of more silly posts. Like, you know, we did a post like how to poop like a samurai, but they thought, you know, they stuck around and like dug into our archives and saw some of our, you know, content that, you know, just sort of a little bit more deeper, and they got hooked on it. And they just started, you know, reading it every day and actually putting into practice the things we write about. And it changed their life. Like they talk about how, like, you know, I'm feeling more confident. I'm in a great relationship now. My relationship is better with my girlfriend or my wife. I mean, those are the kind of letters I get every week. And I mean, that's being successful right there.
I love it. Well, before I ask the final question, which is what I ask all my guests, I want to make sure everyone goes and checks out artofmanliness.com, artofmanliness.com, and everywhere on Facebook. You know, make sure to follow Brett and Art of Manliness on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everywhere. Got a great shop. If you go to the store on artofmanliness.com, got a great shop. You can get some cool mugs. You can get some cool t-shirts, some notebooks. You've got some amazing things you said that are coming out soon that I'll let you guys subscribe to the newsletter and see and wait and see what those cool manly products are. If you're a man, I recommend getting them. If you're a woman listening, I recommend getting them for your man or a man friend. They're really cool. And check everything out at artofmanliness.com. And go into the final question, which is, what is your definition of greatness?
My definition of greatness is doing what you can, where you are, and this is a saying, okay, whatever thou art, act well thy part. Wherever you are in life, whatever capabilities you have, do it to the utmost and try to make a change there.
That's it. Brett McKay, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Louis. It's been a pleasure.
Though the truth may vary, this ship will carry our bodies safe to shore.
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I was very engaged in this topic because obviously I'm a man, and there are things that I've had to learn over the years based on relationships and understanding roles and being confused in roles and all these different things. So for me, it was very insightful to have this conversation, and then I hope to have Brett back on here in the near future. Make sure to check out artofmanliness.com to learn more. We've got all the show notes and some cool videos from this episode over at lewishouse.com/84. That's lewishouse.com/84 to check out all the manly notes from this episode. And I appreciate you guys. We're going to keep ramping these episodes up with amazing, incredible, inspiring, influential guests. We've been doing twice a week lately. So if you have yet to subscribe, please subscribe over on iTunes, over on Stitcher. Leave us a review on iTunes, as it'll help get the word out about the School of Greatness podcast. And I'm just so grateful for everyone who listens and for you for taking the time to listen today. It means the world to me. I appreciate you so much. And I'm excited to see what you're creating in your life and what great things lie ahead. So again, thanks to guys again for sharing this online, for tweeting about it, putting it on Facebook with your friends, for subscribing. I appreciate you guys so much. You guys know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
Juggalos.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've learned the hard way that constantly holding on to your emotions and repeatedly choosing to not talk about your feelings will only make you feel worse and worse. And up until about 10 or 11 years ago, I was afraid to talk about my trauma that I experienced. And I know we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/LEWIS.